I'm just going to do a continuation. We've been having this theme lately about recovering all. And I just feel like this year is going to be a year of open doors, of different opportunities and different things that are going to happen this year. And I feel like God is really making some shifts. We're feeling some shifts. Yeah, we're feeling some real shifts. And it's for the good. It's good. It's shifting out of heaviness. Right? And shifting us into those garments of praise, shifting us out of passivity into passion, right? Because that's what, you know, when we just worship Him, there's something that happens inside of us. You know, we think sometimes worship, it is for God. I mean, it's our devotion, our affection, but it does something to us. That's how God is. Isn't that awesome? It's like something that our devotion, but yet He always gives back. He just, you know, He just blesses us. And there's this one song that I've been listening to. It's called Living in the Overflow. And so I made it my declaration this year, I think. I think God is telling me that we are living in the overflow and that we shouldn't settle for less than what God has for us. And we should not go to the negotiating table with the enemy. Come on, sometimes we kind of do that with our doubt, with our fears. You know, we don't think of it as that, but wait, maybe this is just like, you know, Adam and Eve went to the garden and they negotiated with the enemy. You know how that worked out? Did God really say that? You know, and so God doesn't want us to negotiate at that table of the enemy, because even though we are victorious already in Christ, we can't forget that there is someone that still tries to get our attention off the Savior. Isn't it about worship? It is about worship. It's about worship. You know, the enemy likes to try to steal our worship and how important it is. You know, and I'm not just saying just singing songs of worship, but just our everyday worship unto the Lord as we live a lifestyle of worship. So I just declare that we're going to live in the overflow. Anybody can agree with me this year for that? We're going to live in the overflow, that the things that maybe we've gone through this year, it's been tough for a lot of us. There's things that has happened, but yet God is a God that is bringing restoration, redemption, and, you know, just amazing things for us. It's never the end of the story. When we go through things, God is still working on our story. That might be just a chapter, but this God is still working on our story. So anyway, I feel that there's a shift, and I think 2024 is going to bring even more of a shift. And let's believe for great expectations of what God's going to do. But, you know, sometimes we get caught up in our emotions, and the enemy sometimes uses our emotions to keep us out of God's best, you know, to keep us out of God's rest. And so it's so important that we need to understand that we have this inheritance from the Lord. You know, sometimes we don't realize that we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. And what does that mean, to have the inheritance of God? And, you know, I mean, it's not a small thing to have the blessings and the inheritance of God, of what He desires for us. You know, sometimes we can be blind to what that inheritance is because we're overcome by the issues and the problems that we see that are facing us. But God has an inheritance of peace, love, joy, you know, of kindness, of goodness, and God wants to show Himself in that. So don't live out your a temporary spirit of being caught off guard or caught in a wrong emotion and of feelings, and don't let them govern you, but just stand upon the Word of God. Don't let anybody talk you out of what is yours already, brought on by the cross of Jesus Christ, that we have health, we have peace, we have joy, we have righteousness, we have prosperity, and all the promises of God. Amen? So I'm just going to review a little bit of what we talked about when we talked about recovering all and some of the things that maybe we've learned, and plus a little add on, but I'm remembering one of the quotes that Bill Johnson quoted. He says, "The devil doesn't come in some red suit with horns and a pitchfork, but the enemy comes in as inspired thought. He is also called the angel of light. Satan appears as a creature of light to draw us to himself and his lies." Right? So, you know, we don't realize it, how a thought can shift us. And as we gravitate towards that thought, that produces an attitude, right? And sometimes a false belief. But we have the Word of God. And darkness is a result of attempting to find truth without the Word of God. How many of you know how important it is to have the Word of God? It's something that we need to constantly meditate on and be before the Lord about, right? So we started out with recovering all. If you recall, we talked about Naboth's vineyard. And if you remember the story, Naboth had a vineyard that King Ahab wanted, but Naboth was strong enough and stood up and said, "Lord forbid that I give up my inheritance." And sometimes we have to be that way, you know, strong-minded and strong-willed, because sometimes we succumb to that pulling away of what our inheritance is, and we give up our inheritance on an emotion. And I can give an example of that, of when Esau and Jacob, when Esau came in from the field, do you remember? He was really hungry, and Jacob says, "Well, I'll give you this meal if you give me your birthright," his inheritance, which he was the firstborn, which meant he had a double portion, but he was willing to give up that inheritance for basically a bowl of beans, because he was emotionally, you know, driven and gave up what his true inheritance was. So, you know, we can, without knowing it, give up, I should say, not give up our inheritance, but not realize we have this great inheritance in Christ. And so, you know, because no one can take that inheritance from us. It's already sealed. It's in our deposit. It's in our bank of what God has done for us. So we don't have to worry about ever losing it. But sometimes we succumb to it and we doubt and we fear, right? Have you ever been there? I have. And so, we were talking about how inheritance of God, what one of the things the Bible said was that children are an inheritance from the Lord. And we were talking about how with that new movie, Sounds of Freedom, about human trafficking, kids being trafficked, you know, being trafficked. And so it's like, I just feel like that is the last straw that we can say enough is enough of what's going on in this world, right? And so we can say, no, our kids, remember this thing in the movie, our kids will not be sold. And so it was kind of interesting how many enjoyed Deanne Lawson here for the human trafficking. I've learned a lot, right? I mean, there are so many things that we have to be aware of in our culture. So, but I don't want to dwell on so much the negative as much as the positive things of God's giving us tools to live in our inheritance. Because how many of you know that inheritance is eternal life? We will live forever. But there is an inheritance to experience here and now. Amen? Like, we don't have to wait to get to heaven. Come on? Amen. So what is our inheritance? Your inheritance is what Jesus died for so you could have. And so, what is an inheritance? You know, inheritance has nothing to do with what you do. Your inheritance has everything to do with who you are in Christ. So that means you can't earn it. Not by merit. You know, it's not a quick draw of luck, because what Christ did was so intentional, coming to seal us for an inheritance that we are co-heirs with Christ. And so a lot of times we are just destroyed because of lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible says. We don't understand what our inheritance is. So how can we enter into that inheritance if we don't even know what it is? Come on, right? And so, but God is trying to bring us up to that inheritance, understand what our inheritance is. And what the definition of inheritance is, the portion that falls to me. It also means a prearrangement. So Jesus already, you know, made the payment by his blood for us to receive the inheritance. We didn't have anything to do with his crucifixion other than he did it because of love, for the love of us, that he went to the cross. So our God's inheritance is for you, and it cannot be taken from you. And so we need to value what God did on the cross. And sometimes we don't think about that. We kind of go on our life, and then we let our minds just kind of be prone to whatever emotion that seems to trigger us. And then we forget. But we have to be intentional sometimes that we have this great inheritance. And one is the inheritance of being called a child of God. And that gives us a right to inherit and expect an inheritance. And so we gain an eternity, like I said, with Christ. And that we dwell in his righteousness for all time. Amen? So it says in the Word, in Ephesians 1:11, I want to read this. Not only do we have an inheritance, but you know that you are his inheritance. So in Ephesians 1:11, it reads this. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Wow. Amen. We are his inheritance. Not only are we an heir, like it says in Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. It says in Luke 12:32, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you know that we inherit the kingdom of God when we become a child of God? And what is the kingdom? What does the Word say? The Word says in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace. You know what peace is? The absence of anxiety. Just right there, we could stop and do a Selah. The absence of anxiety and the joy of the Holy Ghost. Inheritance, like I said, is because of who I am and whose name I bear. It's a huge thing to understand that we are children of God and that we have an inheritance of God so that we don't live like orphans. You know, there's an orphan spirit out there. So many people don't understand. We sang a lot about the Father's love this morning, how important it is to know the Father's love, how that we need to know we are much loved by him. And so I just want to read out of Romans 8 and 14 through 17. And it says this, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never, ever feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, come on, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, just like we sang today. Beloved Father, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are my beloved child. And since we are his children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that is his and all that he has. Come on. Do we understand how big of an inheritance? And we're living on beans when we don't understand the great inheritance of how we can live, how we can prosper in our body, soul, and mind. It's so, so important to understand that adoption means to bring to some sonship. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. We're born into the kingdom of God. We are family. In fact, we have his DNA. You know, I've heard someone say, what is DNA? DNA is the divine nature of Abba. How about that? And I take that, the divine nature of Abba living within us. But sometimes we succumb because we don't know, we don't understand. But I prayed this morning that every orphan spirit would be broke off. Any time where we felt like we had to be motivated by striving, or we felt like we didn't fit in, or we were addicted to work, or we had an entitlement spirit, or we were narcissistic, or we had a fear of man's opinion, or we were looking to be accepted, that we receive right now the spirit of adoption, which we cry, Abba, Father. So important to understand that he's not a God that forsakes us. He's a beloved Father watching over us. And that was so well exhorted in the worship today, that he is never a God that sleeps or slumbers. He's constantly watching over us. We are accepted in the beloved. That's what Ephesians 1, 5 through 7 says. Let me just turn there quickly. And it says in Ephesians 1, for it was always his perfect plan. Remember we were talking about he's perfect in all his ways when we were singing? His perfect plan to adopt us as delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For, listen to this, for the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. Wow. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. He loves us as much as he loves Jesus Christ. Do you know that? You are loved as much, the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus. I think that's pretty amazing. It's like, how do we even match up to Jesus, and yet Jesus, you know, the Father loves us. But you know what? We are as God because we have his spirit in us. Amen? So it's our identity as a child of God to receive this inheritance. Our inheritance has been promised by God, purchased by Jesus' blood, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we say enough is enough, that we are not going to, we're going to live life full and big, because God, that's how God wants us to live, in prosperity of heart and mind. And so, you know, we don't want to negotiate anymore with anything but God's perfect will for us, right? Instead of going to the negotiating table of the enemy, we're going to go to the table of his presence, where it says in Psalms 23:5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That's where I say, praise God, I am living in the overflow. Come on. Are we going to settle for less than what God wants? I'm not. I know there's more for us, what God has for us. And God is speaking to us every single day about teaching us to listen to the Father. What is the Father saying? So we have these tools to live in the overflow. And one of them, I'm going to just go through a couple points. And we did some of these before, but I think it's a good reminder. One of the word is so prevalent in the Bible is the word remember. It's, remember we talked about dismember is being pulled, remember is bringing together. So the bringing together, the very thought of what happened on Calvary, and that's why we remember our inheritance when we take communion. Communion is the absolute victory meal. And when we take communion, it is an act of warfare. I don't know if you've felt that before, because it's about the finished work of Christ and what he accomplished. That we didn't earn it. It was freely given to us even before the foundations of the earth. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had a plan, so, you know, that he sent Jesus to the earth so that we could live in this abundant life, in the overflow. Amen? So when we take communion, it's a way of remembering the finished work of Christ. And I think that's so important because, you know, we forget what the price were. We feel like, yeah, I know that, but do we really know that? Do we really take it in and say, that's mine? I receive what the finished work of Christ did for me. It's not just a story. It's not something that's in the Bible, but it means something to me personally and intimately. And how important it is to remember these things. You know, just how amazing the cross really was. Come on. Sometimes we need to get a fresh look at the cross. The cross seemed like foolishness, didn't it, to man? He thought it was foolish, but yet it was the wisdom of God. I mean, this is what I mean. It's just like God is so amazing. He goes beyond our human understanding. But I'm telling you, I know. In this season, I hear the Lord say, it's like he wants us to understand and have more spiritual intelligence. You know, I started reading a book by Chris Vailleton called Spiritual Intelligence, and he's talking about, you know, we can know something on a human level, on a natural level, that something's going on, but we need to understand what the spiritual level and go to the spiritual reality of what's going on. I'll give you an example. Like, someone might be upset or angry, and you think they're mad at you, but the spiritual intelligence by Holy Spirit would say, but what's really going on with them? He just lost his job. See, Holy Spirit can give us some of the root causes of some of the emotions we see out there and where we can bring hope. But I'm saying it's a deeper level that God wants to have us come into, that God wants us to understand as heirs of Christ that we have. So, you know, I never want to make communion a ritual or just, oh, this is something that Christians do. But that it would actually, you know, again, stir up the finished work and understand that we are victorious in that finished work. The other thing was, Pastor Dick gave a message about recovering all, and one of it was being generous like my Father, which is a core principle, you know, here, and giving is a weapon. Do you not understand that? When you give, it actually causes some things to shift. You know, it releases us from a poverty mindset. Come on. Because if you're hoarding, if you're holding on, you know, you're living in a poverty spirit. You're in bondage of some of sort of a wrong belief. You know, but when we give, it breaks that. Being generous is so much what we should be in Christ. It's just like when we did the Chris Vailleton series, Poverty, Riches, and Wealth, how important that series was, because it's not about money. It's about wealth, living in wealth, and understanding to be generous in your time, in your talents, in finances too. But it's to have a generous heart breaks a poverty mindset, because you know what? You're not thinking about you. You're thinking about helping somebody else. You're looking to supply a need for somebody. So generosity is really warfare to break us out of a poverty spirit. And so, you know, there's a great testimony and story in the Bible in Matthew 25 about the talents, the parable of the talents. Do you remember the talents? 5, 2, and 1 talent, and how they invested it. And, you know, one thought he was better investing it by hiding it, and how the Lord rebuked him on that because he did not invest it because he was moving out of fear. And so often what keeps us out of being generous is we're worried we're not going to have enough. When God says, give and it shall be given unto you. We have, and really, I see this it's all the time. It's fear-based when we have a poverty mindset. We're afraid we're never going to have enough. But then that's not what we're called to be. We're called to live in the overflow, right? Come on, can we say that? I'm living in the overflow. Amen. So the third thing that we talked about a little bit was praise, how praise is how we recover all. How important praise is, that our praise releases his glory and power in the atmosphere in and around us. And we talked a little bit about how we are Zion. We are Zion people. We have the Spirit of God in us. God is resident within us. We are people of a dual citizenship on heaven and on earth. And we are a ladder to heaven and earth, right? That Holy Spirit uses us. And so our praise has power to shift atmospheres. We can't neglect. When we worship here, something changes, something moves. Like that song we sing, that Bill, I think you guys sang it last time. You know, something changes, something moves in our worship. It's so powerful that it's not songs that we sing. It's not a list of, let's just go through this song. There's something spiritually that is moving in the atmosphere, because praise, God gave us that tool, that God gave us that weapon of praise so that we can shift atmospheres. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you worship? Try putting worship music on in your house 24/7. Really. I mean, have praise going in your car. It shifts your mind. It shifts the atmosphere. And, you know, there's something that is so powerful that we have to realize this is not, you know, like, oh, well, I don't like to sing or I don't like that song. It's not about that. It's about focusing on the one that we adore, our affection, our devotion, like we sang today. I couldn't help but see the picture. I felt like I was at Calvary, like I was like right there with Mary Magdalene and Mary, just weeping at the feet of Jesus and giving our devotion to what he's done for us. I just felt so drawn and emotional about it because of the great work that he's done, and that he deserves all the praise and all the glory. But you know, it's so awesome. He does that for us too, because when we worship him, something changes in us. Our attitudes change. We shift about the way we thought about something, and God will reveal his kindness and goodness as we worship. So we thank God that we are Zion. We are Zion. We are Zion people. We have the Spirit of God within us. And so the fourth thing, and I'm going to just, that I'm talking today about recovering all, is having a renewed mind, a transformed mind. And I know we've heard this so many times, right? Oh, I know that, you know, I know Romans 12:1, but I think we need to come into a deeper meaning and understand of these things. And so, you know, it says in Hebrews 5:14, mature are those whose senses are trained. And so it's just like, you know, our senses, what we think and what we feel, you need to be trained by God. And so it says in that scripture, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained their senses to distinguish good from evil. And so we have a renewed mind so we can discern properly, that we can move by what God sees. I want to be so tapped into God that my natural understanding would have such a small part of my influence. Can we get there? Can we do that? This says it can. In Romans 12:2, do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed. In other words, transfigured by the renewal of your mind, that by your testing you will discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I want my mind to be totally renewed by the Spirit of God. So what does it mean to have a renewed and a transformed mind? How do we know we have a transformed mind? Let me give you a few things. Number one is you live in hope. You live in hope. You don't live in despair. You live in hope. You have a transformed mind when you have tapped into what God has said. Your mind is renewed and you know his plans are good. They're not of evil, not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. Amen? So you live in hope. It says, any thought not inspired by hope is a lie. Think about that. Any thought not inspired by hope is a lie. Because God is a God of hope. And God is a God of hope in us. Amen. And then it's not about, we can't afford to be, what do they call it? Foreboding, you know, like, oh, something bad is going to happen. I just know it, you know, and stuff like that. Because what does the scripture say in Romans 8:28? For we know all things. Did he say all things work together for those that love God and are called according to his purpose? Amen? We are called to his purpose. We are children of God. We thank you, Lord, that we move in purpose. We move by the plans and the will of God. Number two, the impossible seems reasonable. I love that. I love that because that's really a Bill Johnson quote. When the impossible seems logical. When we have a transformed mind, we can live and believe God for impossible things to happen. You know, because he is the God of the impossible. Come on, can we raise our faith to believe and have our minds transformed by that renewing that God is the God that all things are possible in him. Number three, you live in peace and don't worry. And all your speculations are positive. I wish we could say that full 100%. But like I said, we are being renewed every day and being transformed. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but having divine power to destroy strongholds. Amen. And it says we can demolish every deceptive, this is in the TPT, the Passion. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bows in obedience to the Anointed One. Wow. Isn't that good? We take captive. But so how often things have taken us captive? And God says, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. What is a speculation? There's strongholds of negative thoughts, of lofty thoughts, speculation. What's a speculation? It's the what if, or what if this happens? The mind needs to be renewed, has to do more with the blessing than a curse. That we live in the blessings of God. Come on. We're so worried about the enemy, we forget all about the blessings that we live in. And we need to make that more. Like, I don't like to even talk about that because I don't like him, the enemy, to get 1 ounce of our attention. But we know that in all things, God turns those things around. And that God's truth is our gatekeeper. We have to know what the Bible says. We have to go to the Word and declare what the Bible has said. We need to know what our inheritance is by reading this Word, by understanding our position in Christ. Amen? But here's the fourth one. In order to have a transformed mind, you have to like yourself. You have to like yourself. You know, you have to like yourself. Rejoice, even in your weaknesses. Because that's when he is made strong. God designed us. He actually will use us no matter our imperfections. Has nothing to do with it. There's an example in the New Testament where Paul, he was trained by Jewish scholars. He was like the top of his class, top Pharisee or whatever. But do you know what God called him to? He called him to the Gentiles. He didn't even call him to the Jewish people. He called it the Gentiles. The people he didn't know, his very enemies he called them to. You know, it's just that we can't think that our whole personhood has to do with our strengths. Because it's all of us, our kind of idiosyncrasies, I don't want to call it that, but, you know, little things about us, little quirky things, little, you know, what we may call flaws, it's how God sometimes fashioned us in some things, you know? I mean, it's just like he's given us a personhood that comes not only with strengths, but that we have weaknesses, but that in those weaknesses, we know we are strong in Christ. Amen? So we need to even rejoice in our weaknesses because we know he is strong. The other, number five, would be you're quick to forgive. This is a hard one sometimes, right? Quick to forgive and give grace and mercy to other people. You know, some people are holding on to bitterness, and if you're still telling stories from 20 years ago, we need to let that go. God does not want us to live in bitterness. You know, I remember the quote, Joyce Meyer says, unforgiveness is like you drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die. Right? But unforgiveness, I really believe because of the stress of unforgiveness and bitterness, it'll make you physically ill. It causes stress on your body. So we need to learn how to forgive. And, you know, and so often I've seen, like, when people don't forgive, like, I understand there's hard times. I understand there's been family dynamics and different things. People were raised with alcoholic parents or whatever. But then I've seen them actually, the thing that they hated, they actually became. Because they never really forgave and let that go, they actually became that person. So forgiveness is so important. You know, forgiveness has to be an act of my will, not my emotions, because I can say, I don't feel like I forgive that person. But Lord, I make it an act of my will. Help me to forgive and let that go. And sometimes that's not the last step. That might be the very first thing that you have to do is say, Lord, help me. I forgive that person or that situation. It's the first thing we do. And then lots of times when we get to that point, act of our will to do it, God comes in and he helps us heal and that we can constantly let those things go. I think we all can live with unforgiveness. We all have things happen. But forgiveness is part of being transformed in our mind. So forgiveness means you don't owe me anything. You release that debt of that person owing you anything. But sometimes I understand we need to walk in a process of healing, and it may take some time, but the goal is that our will is our transfer mind is, I want to forgive, I forgive, and let it go. It's so important. Number six, I am confident and thankful. And so, it was interesting, Chris Valentin talked about that someone had come up to me, and what's the difference between confident and arrogant? Because, you know, we've always heard, you know, we should be so humble. But where's the confidence? That humble, like, you know, like we've learned, like religion teaches, like you're supposed to be some kind of worm. You don't measure up to anything. You know, you want to be humble and like you're degrading yourself. This is not what God has called us to do, because he said we were created in his image. Why would he say anything condemning towards us? But how much he loves us. And I think you're going to hear a lot with Peter Schilling, Schiller. He's amazing, and he teaches on the Father's heart. And he's just, oh my gosh, he'll just bring a lot of truth to that about how the Father looks at us and who we are. But going back, what the difference is between confidence and arrogance, the difference, the answer to that is thankfulness. See, gratitude will inoculate you from arrogance. You know, we stay in thankfulness. You know, we can be confident, but we're also thankful because of what God has done and what God has done in us. Amen? So I think, you know, it says in the Word, we should be people that do not, how does it go? Shrink back. I'm sorry, I couldn't think of the word. In Hebrews talks, we shouldn't be a people that shrink back. And that means we should have confidence. We should have confidence, but not with arrogance. You know, like, we know certain things are righteous. We understand some things that are righteous that are not going on in the world, but we don't want to be arrogant about it, but we don't want to shrink back as well. And there's a healthy balance to that, because we don't want to not love the world we're supposed to minister to, and we don't want to put on a spirit of self-righteousness. We want to put on righteousness, but with thankfulness of what God's done in us, that we can share hope and righteousness to others, and they can live in that way of Christ, which is so powerful and such a blessing. So we need to be confident but thankful. They need to flow together. So how do I know we have our renewed mind? Another thing is, we believe in people, and we give people the benefit of the doubt. Wow. And I think we do that here at Outfitters. I think we have a hope, and we know that there's so many gifts and things in you. There's the, you know, and how much God loves you that. I hope the message comes clear at Outfitters that you are loved and you are valued, and we believe in what God put, what you carry, because of what Jesus and the Holy Spirit has put within you. So that is so important, that we believe in each other and encourage each other. Has anybody ever heard of Carolyn Leaf? Okay, she's got a book called Who Switched My Brain Off, I think it's or on. And she wrote about, this is an interesting, talk about the transformed mind. She talked about how our thoughts are our neural pathways in our brain. And so she brought an illustration. She says our brain is like a jungle. And so once we get a thought, maybe it's a bad thought. So you're going through this bad thought in your mind. It's like hacking, like a machete hacking through the jungle, right? And so, but the more you do it, the more the path becomes a road, and the road becomes wider, and the road then becomes a highway, and then the highway becomes a 8-lane freeway. And every time we widen that road, when we keep on thinking that same thought over and over and over and over again, and so until it becomes what we call, and you've heard, is a mindset. And so she had talked about that. I thought was really good. That's so true, because we need to, we have to break that cycle of negative thoughts, no hope, you know, believing God for the best. We have to, you know, get off that 8-lane highway and exit off on a new way, a new path to thinking. And we do that. How do we do that? We renew our mind by exiting that freeway, right? As she has said. But she also said about meditating, how important it is to meditate on God's word and what God says. In Joshua 1:7-8, it says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosper and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, when we think of meditation, sometimes we think of meditation as an Eastern kind of religion cultish thing, right? We heard of transcendental meditation. But meditation, that kind of meditation, is not scriptural meditation. You know, we talked about how meditation is, you know, diving into the Word. We did a series called Revelation by Meditation. And it was like we took a scripture and we actually prayed over that scripture. We sang over that scripture. We spoke that scripture. And then it was like God was giving us new insights to that scripture, because, you know, so often we read scripture, but we're not grasping the depth of what God is trying to say to us. But I believe God is causing us to come into a deeper place with Him, deeper still. Amen. And so, we've heard, I don't know, you maybe heard meditations like a cow eating, and then it chews its cud, and then it regurgitates, and then it chews it again. Well, when I was doing this study, I came across this word in the Hebrew, and what it means, meditation, is growl. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. You know, I have this app on my phone called the Hebrew Word Study. And so anyway, and it said that growl is part of it. I think they say it, haga, is a Hebrew word for meditate, which is growl. And then the reference was Isaiah 31:4, and it says, as a lion or a young lion growls and meditates over his prey. And what he's really saying there is the idea of, this is focused meditation, like a lion growling over his prey, to show that when you are hyper-focused on God, nothing can distract you. Fear is nothing when you're earnestly focused on God. Come on! Are you growling? I was just thinking how really cool that is, because I was picturing a lion growling over his prey, like he's super focused, you know? And it's just like, this is how God wants us to be focused, not on the enemy, but on Him, on the power that we have, that we're not victim to any of these things, that we can come back and we can meditate and we can remember what God said, His promises. We can stay off that negative highway and have a new pathway to think like God. Are we called to have the mind of Christ, to think how God thinks? This is possible because we can have a transformed mind. This is something that God desires, that we don't think on our natural ability of what we see and how we see things, but that we get, you know, that time with the Lord. We hear God say, we're transformed, our spirits are connected to His spirit, that we can get a discernment. We can get a revelation of what really is happening in the spirit, and that we don't depend on always our natural understanding. Because there's heaven realities that God wants to show us. We are children of heaven and children of earth, that there's heaven realities God wants to show us, that we have the mind of Christ. We have access. I think that's a point we don't realize. We have access to this. You know, if you don't believe you have access, you're not going to maybe open the door, because you believe that's not available to you. But that's not true. We have access. Doesn't it say we have access to the throne of grace? And what that all entails is thinking like God, being like God, understanding who we are in God, that we have complete and full access to God. Amen? So God is not holding back anything from us in order to live a prosperous life and to bring His kingdom to this earth realm through you. For the scripture says, the kingdom of God is within you. Holy Spirit insight is within you. You are an answer to this world. You can change the world around you by declaring those things that God says. We can cause an atmosphere to shift. Amen? We can renew our mind, and it's so important in order to win this war. Because the war, a lot of times, is in our head. Amen? Because it's already done. It's a finished deal. It's done, sealed, and delivered. But we have to make those deposits. And so the Word of God is our source of power to renew our minds. It's the authority in which we stand. And we can be confident when He has spoken it, He promised it, and He's going to deliver, that His Word is true, and it will produce what it's been sent out to do. Doesn't the Word say that? And so we need to put our value on the inheritance, on the Word of God, on receiving communion, on understanding who we are in Christ, our identity, our inheritance. These things we all need to be sharpened and understand that we can walk in the confidence and the power of God. So important. And then we can rest in that place because it's finished and it's done. And there's power in resting in that because it takes out all the striving. It's just knowing and coming in agreement with what God has done. You know, when we were singing that song, our prayer, our devotion, our meditation is on Him. And He should be our focus. This is our warfare for recovering all. It's already done. But is our minds transformed to the, is it transformed to the renewing of our mind? And God wants us to have our mind renewed so that you can think like He thinks. Amen? And you can move in what He's doing in this earth today. So if you feel like maybe you need prayer, I just feel like we need to pray for one another. Let's come in agreement and pray for one another that we would have that spiritual IQ of not the emotional IQ, but the spiritual IQ, and see how God sees things, that we would think like God, that we would get out of our own natural understanding and move by the power of His Spirit. Amen?